Bill, how you doing today?
Doing all right, Glenn. Michael, how about you guys?
Oh, just exhausted. You know, just really worn out. Just a lot of football to watch and keep up with. But other than that, hanging in there.
Before we get into your team and your game yesterday, there's so much scoring going on in the league in every one of these games now, Bill. Is defense lost, or do you think we're going to start seeing, as the season progresses on right now, more of defensive battles and less of the scoring? Or has the game changed that much?
You know, I really don't know. I think early in the season, anything can happen, and you guys know how it goes. Just as soon as you think it, you got to figure it out that it's going to be a 6-3 game, it's 40-39, and as soon as you think it's going to be, you know, 35-31, it'll be 9-7. So it's really hard to predict how any games are going to go in this league, and I think it's really a mistake if you, in your preparation, make your mind up as to what you think, you know, how you think the game's going to go, and then how it actually turns out could be very different. So just play it as it comes, and in all honesty, I haven't seen, you know, very many games this year. We had the Monday night game, so I didn't see much last weekend, and then this weekend, I mean, all I saw was our game yesterday. I haven't really had time to look at many, you know, many games other than, you know, Buffalo's opening game against, you know, their first win against Kansas City. So I really haven't had a good opportunity to view any of the games on film other than preseason games. So I'm probably, of all the people you talk to, probably the person that's seen the least NFL regular season games, you know, at this point in the season.
Well, one of those situations where you did see defense yesterday was that goal line stop, fourth down play from San Diego, and they get stopped just short of the end zone. From looking at it live, and I'm sure you've watched the game a couple times now, what do you think the key was to that stop from your side?
Well, on that particular, on the fourth down play, they tried to run off tackle, and Devin McCourty came across with a motion, and he kind of came behind the wing and cut the fullback down there in the hole right about the line of scrimmage, so Tolbert had to kind of alter his course and spill to the outside, and Mayo scraped out there, was able to get away from the blocking inside, was unblocked, and made a good tackle, and kept Tolbert out of the end zone. But it was sort of similar to last week in the Miami game where, you know, we had the fourth down stop there too, where coverage-wise we were able to, you know, keep the quarterback in the pocket for the most part, and then even though he scrambled up the middle, we only got a yard on that, but keep the quarterback in the pocket, cover the receivers, and force the receivers to make, you know, tough catches and force the quarterback to make a hard throw. And fortunately, we were able to hold up in those situations where it's tough to pass. And then when they ran the ball, you know, Devin and Mayo really, you know, did a nice job of making the fourth down stop yesterday.
You know, Bill, when you got a quarterback like Phillip Rivers and you got a back like Tolbert, and with San Diego, there's so many possibilities. You would think, okay, fourth and one, pretty simple, but there are so many plays that they could run in that situation. Do you just do you look at the formation and say, okay, this is likely to be it, or do you go to what you think their gotta have it plays are and play off of those?
Against San Diego, I think you kind of got to defend everything. I mean, they have so many good players, and they could just as easily throw to Gates down there on the one-yard line as hand it off. So, they mixed it up on us, really. They ran it, and they threw it down there. And so, I mean, it wasn't like we really knew what was coming, but I think everybody's just got to really do their job in that situation. And, you know, if your job's to stop the run inside, you do that. If your job's to be the force guy and hold up on the perimeter, then you do that. If your job's to cover Gates, then you better cover Gates. And, that's kind of how we tried to play them. There are some teams, as you mentioned, that, you know, they have their go-to plays or their go-to players, and kind of everybody knows, they know they're going to them, you know they're going to them, and it's just, you know, see if you can stop them. But with San Diego, they do a very good job of mixing it up, and it's hard to, it's really hard to say, well, this is exactly what they're going to do down there, because they do a good job of keeping you off balance, and they have a lot of different guys to work to. They can throw to McMichael. They can throw to Gates. We certainly saw him throw to the backs, and those backs can run. You know, Tolbert had a great touchdown run the week before against Minnesota, where he ran over about three guys to get into the end zone. So I'm sure they had a lot of confidence handing him the ball. So you just got to be ready to stop everything against them.
So, Bill, how do you balance it out? It certainly looked like you gave a lot of different looks to Gates. They didn't throw the ball but one time to him. But how do you balance it out that if you try to stop one guy, especially with a team that's got so many weapons and they're so big, that you could get burned elsewhere? How does that balance work?
Well, you try to prioritize what you want to defend, whether it's in certain situations or certain down and distances or at certain points in the game. You know, these are the things we want to try to take away, and then you set your defensive scheme up so that you are able to be competitive against those particular types of plays, whether they're outside runs or underneath passes or a certain receiver or deep passes or whatever it is. I mean, you can't stop everything, but you can certainly put your players in a position where it's easier for them to defend one type of play than it is another. So I think that's kind of how you formulate your defensive game plan, and then you pick out those different things based on the situation and the personnel that they have in the game, and sometimes that adjusts the formations. You pick those things out as you go through the game and try to decide what you want to emphasize and to try to stop, or you know, if you want to play zone coverage or if you want to pressure the quarterback or, you know, those kind of things, then you pick a call that gives you that type of a defensive look.
Hey, end of the first half, you guys come up with the pick, and then obviously you've got very few seconds remaining on the clock, and you're able to get a couple of plays off on the sidelines, catches, out of bounds, stop the clock. How key was that, and were you surprised that you were able to throw to the sidelines like that?
Well, we had 9 seconds. If I think if I have this right, we had nine
yep.
seconds, and the ball was on like the would have been about a 65-yard field goal, so maybe on like the 30 or whatever that is.
Yeah, you're in the ballpark.
Ball was
yeah,
on
that's
like
where
the 48-yard line,
right.
So it would have been about a 65-yard field goal. So we felt like we needed, you know, at least 10 to 15 yards to really have a good shot at the field goal. And there were 9 seconds to go, so, it looked like San Diego was playing deep, you know, for us to throw the ball down the field. And Tom spotted Deion with Case on backing pretty far off him and tossed it up there to him and picked up about 10. And then with 6 seconds left, we felt like we had time for one more play if we ran it quickly. And we just barely did get it in the nick of time. But that time, the second time, the secondary came up and played us tighter. And so Tom was trying to actually throw it into, I think it was Hernandez, going behind Case on. But then Case on fell off on it. At the last second, and so Tom threw it out to Deion, and he stepped out of bounds. So we didn't have any timeouts left. We had to get the ball out of bounds and gain some yards, and that particular look that they gave us, that's what we decided to try to do.
It's funny. Glenn usually has nice things to say about fat guys. He undersold this one. It wasn't just an interception. It was an interception from a nose tackle. What did you think of the pick? And the return from Vince kind of reminded me of that Connolly play last year versus the Packers.
Well, it was a tremendous – yeah, it was. It was good running by both those guys, but it was a tremendous play by Vince. He, you know, being the instinctive player that he is, he, you know, saw the back release out and kind of went into the passing lane and then, you know, made a terrific play on the ball, kind of tipping it up to himself and then – we know Vince is a great athlete. We've had him back there returning punts and stuff like that in practice, and he handles the ball very well. And you could see what kind of athlete he was there in the open field. He, you know, was running pretty good. So, but it was a great play. It was, you know, really very instinctive on his part. It wasn't something that we had schemed or drawn up. It was him seeing something and getting in a position and taking advantage of a little bit of a low throw and making the play.
He sworn to us before that he could beat Tom Brady in 40. So, I know you guys do some interesting things at times at the end of practice, like that Vollmer, seeing if he could catch a punt. Maybe at the end of practice, defense gets the day off if Wilfork beats Brady and vice versa for the offense, if Brady knocks off Wilfork. What do you think?
That's a good idea. I think that's a good idea. and when we had Vince back there catching punts, like we did with Vollmer, we did that Vince's rookie year. And, he looked like Troy Brown back there catching him. Just made it look easy. Didn't even hear the ball hit his hands. Real soft catch. And, that's just, might as well just give the players the night off and not even go through the exercise. It was like automatic with Vince back there. We found out how good his hands and athletic ability were his rookie year. But he made a terrific play on the ball yesterday. It was a great play.
Don't you get the feeling that if Vince had a different body type, he could be a DB, he could be a running back, he could be a wideout? It, depending on what, body type, he was left with, he could just he could conform because he's just such a great athlete.
Well, he's very athletic, and he's got great power and explosion. He's very light on his feet. He can really get over, with all those bodies there in the line of scrimmage. He steps over them and gets through them pretty easily. He runs well and changes direction well. So he's a rare type of athlete for that type of, for the size and power that he has to go with it. The whole combination is, it's hard because people have trouble with his quickness. They have trouble with his size and his explosion. And it's hard for offensive linemen to match up to both. He usually has an edge one way or the other against his opponent, and that's why a lot of times they initially double him or try to bump him so that he can't gain that advantage initially.
You went for it on fourth and four around midfield, and I'm guessing that had something to do with Mesko. Any thought of going for one of those Danny White pooch punts, or for Danny White it was a real punt, but a pooch punt in that situation?
We had a couple options that we thought about there, but in the end, taking everything into account, we felt like probably the best thing to do was to try to pick it up and convert it, and we could have Could have definitely coached that series a little bit better, especially with third down and then fourth down. We just didn't get anything out of either one of those. So, that was definitely influenced by the Mesko situation. And had it been a longer yardage situation, we probably would have handled it differently. But we tried to do what I thought was best there. It just didn't work out. So. Of course, when it doesn't work out, you'd rather do it over again.
Right, but they don't give you mulligan, do they, in football? I would say this, though. There's a lot of things that could have gone wrong, including the snap from a guy that's not accustomed to catching it as a punter back there, right? A million things could have gone wrong.
The snap wasn't an issue. We have a snapper, and he snapped the whole game, so that it was just where exactly we were with Zoltan on that at that particular point in time, and again, given the field position, given the down and distance, I just decided to keep the ball in the offense's hands. But like I said, when it doesn't work out, then you always like to have the decisions back that don't work.
You want to tackle an offbeat brain teaser, football brain teaser here? I don't know if it's a brain teaser or not, but. I was watching. Did you watch that Falcons Eagles game?
I did see a little bit of the game, and I saw the end of it. What a game! Very exciting game.
Oh, absolutely! And I wanted to ask you about it. I'm glad you saw the end because I was going to ask you a question about that. Falcons obviously come out on top. Great game. And I'm thinking about it. They had they forced the turnover on downs on fourth down, so they've almost got a chance to run out the clock, but they're about 18 seconds left, and they got the ball at their own 18 with 15 seconds left in the game. And I was thinking, all right, is it outrageous to punt it and have the punter run around for a bit, kick it out of the end zone, or is that, and then you give up the intentional safety and then you do the free kick? Or is that too many moving parts, and is it just better just to punt it off and see what happens?
Well, it was a four-point game, right?
Four-point game.
Four-point game.
Yeah, so, I mean, the problem with taking the safety, you know, in a four-point game is a field goal beats you. So, you know, again, if you have time to get it down to where the last play is just the kickoff return, like if you could run it down to, you know, 3-4 seconds and then you take the safety and kick it and there's no time for a field goal, then that's, you know, that's one play. You know, it's always kind of hard to take a safety when you've got, you know, decent field position. It's easy to take a safety when you're on your own 5-10 yard line. That's no problem. But when you get out there a little bit further, it's not saying it isn't doable, but you got to be careful they don't get you before you get the ball back there, or, you know, like you said, snap it and run back. But, you know, if the guy gets caught, or, you know, it's just a lot of moving parts there. So, but definitely a potential strategy. I mean, I think, you know, if you can do it right, like you said, and run around and kill some time, you can do it. I think you just got to be careful about leaving two plays instead of one where they could return the kickoff after a safety and then kick a field goal. You wouldn't want to give them that opportunity, but as long as you get it down to the last play, you know, I could see that.
And can you imagine if you screw that up, it's one of those like Pisarcik plays. They're playing 35 years after the fact. Can you believe this coach did this? What was he thinking?
Right. Well, the problem with it, Michael, it's really easy to sit here and talk about, you know, what you can do in those situations. Usually the issue comes down to you just have one or maybe two plays for that type of a situation. You know, you're ahead and you know, you're going to take a safety or you're going to run some time off the clock or whatever it is. You don't have like, you know, eight different plays. You have one or maybe two at the most, I would think. And then if the situation happens where you kind of, well, you don't quite want this play and you don't quite want that play, it's a little bit of a gray or dirty situation that it isn't cleanly one or the other, that's kind of where you have trouble. You know, you pick one, but it's not exactly the situation that fits that play, or and then if you try to make it up as you go along, then you haven't practiced it. Now it's a critical play that everybody's not totally sure what to do. And so that's, you know, that's kind of the hard part. It's easy when it's clean. It's not so easy when it's just a little bit different than the way you have it set up. And what we've learned from that is to keep going through those kind of situations, to try to create situations for our team like that. And then when we watch the plays, sometimes we find one of those situations that we practice and say, gee, this is the play we called, and that's basically what we want. But if we just had this one guy do something else, that would be better if it was, you know, if the situation were just a little different from the one we practiced. So there's a lot to be learned from that stuff on the practice field as well as in the game. Michael, those situations, the ones that like that, the game that happened last night, those are the kind of situations that will show to our team in future weeks, you know, a play from another game, from that, you know, an end of the game kind of situation, and say, okay, if this was us, here's what we would do. You know, here's what we would do as a punt team. Here's what we would do if we were on offense. Here's what we would, you know, here's how we would handle these last few seconds. And definitely when I was watching that last night, you know, I made a note this morning too, that's, you know, that we want to show that situation to our team on both sides of it. You know, we're Atlanta and we're Philadelphia. And if this was them, what would we do? And if this was us, what would, you know, how would we play it on both sides? So, that's, you know, that's the great part about football. Those last few seconds of a game and the strategy and all the different options, you know, and that's, you know, you just love that part of the end of the game, at least I do, because there's this, you know, it's such a, you know, you've got all the skill that goes into the game, and then you have the strategy. And, you know, unfortunately, I think that's one of the things we miss in overtime, that we, you know, kind of first team to score deal. You don't get that end of the game situation like you do in basketball when you, you know, you're behind by a couple points and you foul, and, you know, you do all the things you do to try to play out those last few seconds. You know, I mean, that's, for fans, it's great.
Buffalo coming up next week. They are 2-0, and they put an offensive show up in both Kansas City and now at home against Oakland. What do you see with them?
Well, pretty much the same thing we saw last year. They showed very explosive offense against us in the first game here, including Spiller's long kickoff return. And you know, we went there at the end of the year and conditions weren't great. They had 7 turnovers. I mean, it really obviously wasn't a good, you know, very good offensive performance for them, turn the ball over that much. But, you know, that's not going to happen again. You can't count on that. But this is a very explosive offensive team. They've got great backs. Jackson's terrific. We know about him. And Spiller, the quarterback's good. They got a whole bunch of receivers. They got big, tall receivers like Nelson, and they've got little fast receivers like Parrish and, you know, all the other guys in between. So the offensive line has been consistent. They've gotten, you know, they played a lot together through preseason, and they're starting to get, you know, a little bit of a rhythm there with, you know, Bell. They move Wood to center. And, of course, Lavitre at guard and Urbick. And so, you know, they've gotten more continuity in the offensive line. I think that's really probably the biggest improvement on their offense is just the consistency of the offensive line play. They've always had good skill players, tight ends, quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, and a lot of them. And they, whether you want to call it 5 receivers or not, sometimes they have 5 receivers on the field. But, you know, Fred Jackson or Spiller, they're just as much of a receiver as a receiver is. So, you have to defend all of them, and the quarterback can run. So they give you a lot to defend, and their line's playing a lot better. The performance of their offense really hasn't surprised me at all.
All right, they've got Kyle Williams, but tell us what you've seen so far on film for Marcell Dareus, their top draft pick.
You know, impact player, I'd say along the lines of Sue, you know, with Detroit last year, hard to block, run or pass. Just a hard guy to block, runs well, chases down plays, screens, outside plays, things like that. He's tough to block at the point of attack. He's a strong pass rusher. He can make athletic moves, but he's also got a lot of power. He's a real good football player. He's a tough matchup for whoever's on him. They move him around a little bit. Kyle Williams is good, and you know, they're active on the edges. They like to play a lot of 5-6, even last year against us, they played some 7 defensive backs. So they try to put a lot of speed on the field, and they've got a good aggressive front.
All right, Bill, 2-0. Good luck in Buffalo, and we'll talk to you back here on Monday.
All right, sounds good, Glenn, Michael. Good to catch up with you.
Okay, Bill.
Have a good one, Bill.
All right, thank you.